Thank you. And I want to thank you all for coming out tonight. And it's really an honor and just so much fun to be reading with these truly glorious and amazing women, who are many of whom are really my friends. I'm lucky to have such good friends. And I want to thank Jimmy for the 10 years that he's let me first infiltrate and then help him with the Hemingway Summer Poetry Series. And I thank all of you, so many of you who've been at that series and have read and have been part of our audience. And we look for many years ahead. So I'm going to read some poems. I've been working on a manuscript that brings together photography, poetry, and history. And so all of these poems have something to do with photography, for sure, one way or another. And one of the photographers you might not know as well is a man by the name of Roy de Careva. You probably have heard of Gordon Parks, but Roy de Careva is somebody to look for his work. He was alive from 1919 to 2009, and the title of the poem is A Sliver of Light. He began with sidewalk chalk art, encouraged by his Jamaican single mother, found his way to the WPA, Cooper Union, the Army, then the turn from painting to the camera, a Guggenheim, sweet flypaper of life with Langston Hughes, not the punch shot, but subtle poignancy. He worked without assistance, developed his own film, photographed exactly what he saw, what he found, and never tried to brighten darkness, but deepened it using the softest paper he could find, studies of Billie Holiday, Miles Davis, Coltrane, and homage to everyday Harlem life, a man sitting on a stoop, empty plates and ketchup bottles, brick walls, stick ball, tenement hallways, hallways I grew up in. In graduation, a young lady, bathed in light, walks between a trash-strewn street and a vacant lot towards a dim-lit billboard for a Bel Air Chevrolet. But is she looking at the billboard or moving on despite the shadows that block her path? Who dares say, I've seen this girl, I know her? De Careva would say, a sliver of light on the grating, that's my hope, my optimism. So one of, for a lot of folks growing up, one of their favorite poets was John Barrowman, and he had a really difficult and really a tragic life. He's someone really to know his poetry and to know his life. One of the best sources on that is Eileen Simpson's book, Poets in Their Youth. She was married to Barrowman, and she appears in this poem, and a photograph appears in this poem as well. And there's an epigraph from Barrowman who said, and boy, this is kind of serious, we must travel in the direction of our fear. Flash. Eileen Simpson begins with his photo, clean-shaven, ascetic, but an impish grin, dark suit, bow tie. He's holding a pipe. How she must have studied that photo. On New York City streets, he'd jaywalk. He was good at dodging cars. She'd watch him correct papers in his red leather chair. They'd dine with Delmore Schwartz, who played her Bessie Smith on the gramophone. When they married, living in a tiny apartment lined with books, they were happy and slim enough to fit in a single bed. Years later, she read about his death in Minneapolis. She hoped it wasn't suicide. Different photograph, ragged beard, empty eyes. His students remember how he said, jokes in dream songs relieve the tension. He had that odd way of speaking accent on the second syllable of poet, born in Oklahoma. But he didn't stay long. Am I screwing this up for the video guy? Am I moving too much? I'm sorry. If you've seen photographs of Manzanar, if you've seen photographs of Gandhi or survivors of the Holocaust, you've seen the work of Margaret Bourke White. And here's a poem about her. The title is "The Fire That Ran Like Water." A plain Jane with pulled back hair went to college to study snakes. Her father had been a perfectionist, an amateur photographer. She only began taking photos after he died, but soon she was turning steel mills into art. She loved the fire that ran like water. Hardwired for danger, for hazard, by 1929, a phenomenon. Dizzy heights have no terror for this girl photographer. Then Maggie, the indestructible, traveled with Patton's army, strafed, bombarded. She never spoke about being Jewish, even when she took the photographs at Buchenwald. Dull pain in her leg, stiffness in her hands. At first, the doctors kept the diagnosis from her. She'd fight Parkinson's for 20 years. Her luxuriant hair cropped short, gone white. She let Life magazine document her story with a 15 photograph spread. Maggie straining to speak. Maggie twisting a towel. Maggie learning the tango. She let doctors drill a hole in her skull, inject alcohol in her thalamus. For a time, she could type again. For a time, she could almost hold a camera. I'll read two more. If you've seen the photographs of the Dust Bowl, if you've seen the photographs of the Depression, you have seen the photographs of Dorothea Lange. A lot of this work is, for me, kind of a project about training the eye. And that was what she did. And so here's a poem for her. Dorothea Lange, training the eye. From age 7, she walked with a limp. Dorothea, born in Hoboken, no treatment in 1902 for polio, no choice but to accept the pain, the hoof-like foot. She crossed the Hudson by ferry, PS 62 on Hester Street, with tenement children so hungry for learning they intimidated her. She ignored school, trained her eye, strolling past the storefront synagogues and Yiddish theaters to the bars, pool halls of the Bowery, then on to Wadley School for Girls. I want to be a photographer. For a time, she was Dory, married with 3 children, portrait photographer to the wealthy of San Francisco. But in 1932, she looked down from her studio and saw desperate homeless men in workman's caps and fedoras. White Angel, Breadline. In 1935, she met economist Paul Taylor, who was studying Mexican migration. He taught himself Spanish, learned to ask unthreatening questions like, where's the next town? He took Dorothea into the fields of Oroville, he with his notebook, she with her camera, documenting the shacks, malnutrition, scarlet fever, and the armed men who patrolled the migrant camps for the workers, for the growers, They fell in love watching each other work, divorced their spouses, married. From then she would live in Berkeley, near the Rose Garden and the university, among the new dealers and the Marxists. She was taking photographs for the government, and she told migrants in the field, "I'm working for the president." A rainy February 1936, Lang was alone driving Highway 101. She saw the road sign, P. Picker's Camp. She drove on and turned back. A freezing rain had ruined the crops, the migrants stranded and starving. The woman, Florence Thompson, was 32, seven children, her face drawn and careworn, her children huddled, hiding behind her. Florence stares warily into the distance. Dorothea gave two photos to an editor who contacted the government. Emergency food saved the family's migrant mother, the face of the Depression on a 32-cent stamp. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan.